How many of you guys have a fingerprint like lock on your phone? Any of you guys have that? You get like the newer phones that have the fingerprint lock. How cool is that technology? How important is your fingerprint? Like, aren't fingerprints pretty important? Have you guys, those of you all who have, how many of you have your license? Anybody have your license yet? There's a couple of you out there, and you had to have your fingerprints taken to get your license, right? And why? Why is it so important? Why do we stick our fingers on things? What? Nobody else has it, right? It's you. It's basically, you're pretty much the only person, I think, unless like some people are born weird and have the same one, but I think most of us, we don't have identical fingerprints. Like, your fingerprint is your fingerprint. So as you put your little thumb on your phone or whatever it is that you're doing there, it's saying like, this is me. This is my identity. This is who I am. And you're identified by that. And so, and that was just funny because I like hedgehogs. I was like, that's a sweet video. I get to show that. But a little hedgehog fingerprint footprint there. Even they have fingerprints. Don't hate on hedgehogs, okay? Don't be prejudiced against them. But as we look at who we are tonight, and we're still walking through the book of 1 John, remember that 1 John was written, for those of you guys who are just tuning in, to us or to a church of people that were trying to figure out, like, am I really saved? Is the faith that I have in Jesus actually something that's legit? Or am I just kind of walking through motions? And so John is writing this letter so that people can figure out, like you actually believe in Jesus. You have saving faith. And he tries to give us some advice to look at different things in our lives so we can be sure of that. So that we don't have to go through our lives doubting and wondering if we're really saved. And he's shown us some different things as we walk through the book of 1 John so far. And tonight, he's talking about love. Love is a big, big test for us to see if we truly are saved. If we have a saving faith that has changed our lives will have the fingerprint of love all over it. Something that will identify you as being distinctly different from anybody else in this world that's not of Jesus. Followers of Jesus get this fingerprint that identifies us as His children, and it's love. It's something that the world doesn't know, the world can't understand, because only Jesus can give it to us. And so that's where we're at in 1 John tonight. If you guys will look with me, we're going to read verses 11 to 18 of chapter 3. It says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was the evil one, and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? "Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And John says some really powerful stuff in that those couple verses right there. He says some stuff that hit me in the face so hard when I think about my own life and the way I live for Jesus. When I think about my identity as a follower of Jesus, my fingerprint, and the love that should be just smeared all over me when I interact with other people, sometimes I think, man, I know the Word of God. I read it all the time. I pray. I go to church. But in the middle of all this knowledge, am I loving people? Or is it just a bunch of talk in my life? Or am I taking the things that I know about Jesus and His life and what He did and what He's done, and am I living that out myself to really love people? And so I want us to stop for a second as we go through this and just ask yourself these questions that He's going to ask us as we go through this passage and see how you meet up to this. Think about your own life. Think about your own actions and your own heart. Do you have the fingerprints of love smeared all over you? So look at verse 11, the very first verse we're looking at tonight. He says, "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." What's that message he's talking about that we've heard from the beginning? The day that you accepted Jesus Christ. Do you guys remember that day? Can you think back to the day where you got saved? Do you remember where you were, what it was like, what you prayed, what you felt in your heart? If you think back to that time, if you've been saved, and you remember that, you remember why you believed that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth and He died on a cross for you. He paid a death penalty that you and I deserve to pay. And you, in that moment, you recognize that you were a sinner and that you were unworthy of God's love. But that Jesus came and paid for that and He died for you. And you were moved. Your heart responded to that love. And you saw and believed that Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. He's alive today. And when He did, He granted life to you. He said, death can't hold me, sin can't punish me, I've beaten it all and I've beaten it for you. So if you trust me today, you'll be saved and have eternal life. And in that moment that you recognized that and you believed that with your heart, you prayed and you received it from God, you said, Lord, I trust you, forgive my sin. And that message was the message of hope that Jesus has died for your sin to save you. And you know what that whole act was? You know why Jesus was nailed to a cross? You know why He was beaten by whips, beaten by soldiers, had His beard ripped out, a crown of thorns shoved into His head? Do you know why He did all that? The word love. He thought of you. He had your face in His mind as He hung there, and He endured nails going through His hands and feet. And as He screamed out, He pictured your face. Not just random faces. Your face was in His mind. His love for you was in His heart as He did that. So the message that we've heard and received from the beginning was the message of Jesus, of His love that He had for you that saved you. And John's saying, think back on that message that you heard from the very beginning. That message of hope and love. And this is what I'm going to tell you based on that. If you truly believed it, if you believe that Jesus really died on the cross, that He was the Son of God, if you believe that He raised from the dead, then it will put love in your heart to love other people. See what He says there? That we should love one another. Can't get it anywhere else. Can't go to the store and buy it. You can't try really hard and wake up every morning and write love on the back of your hand so that you remember as you go through your day, love people, love people, love people. Really, and you try really hard. Rob, come on, be nice. Love people, sacrifice, do this, Rob. I'm going to fail every single day. I can't do it by myself. But as I think back to what Jesus did for me and I recognize that, the love of Christ fills me. The Holy Spirit gives me power as I think about what Jesus did to save me and make me His child. And all of a sudden, I'm able to love people in a way I don't even understand. Like, how was I able to not just like totally blow up on that person? How was I able to sit there as they talked to me that way and I responded that way? I didn't even understand my own words. Like, I don't even know what I'm saying right now. Like, how was I so nice? Because it wasn't me. It was the love of Christ. It was me remembering that Jesus hung on a cross as people yelled at Him. As people treated Him like He was filth and trash. Unfairly and unjustly hung Him on a cross. He didn't deserve that. And He never once yelled back or swore or cursed at them. He never once talked bad about them. The whole time as they tortured Him, He looked back with eyes of love. That's the love that He gives you and me if we really believe. If we've truly accepted Christ with the message we've heard from the beginning of hope and love. In verse 12, He says, we should not be like Cain, who is of the evil one, and murdered his brother. Now, He's talking about Cain and Abel. You guys remember the story from Genesis? Right in the very beginning of the Bible, first couple chapters, we run into Adam and Eve. The first man and woman that God creates, who were real people, and they had children. And after this curse, after they sinned, and we talked about the fall before, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, and now all of us inherit that sin. God came along and said, listen, this is what you need to do because you've sinned. And remember, he killed that animal to clothe them. And he set up the system to say, you're going to have to make sacrifices because you have sin. And so as you make this sacrifice, you go before God and you sacrifice that. And this is what it represents. That one day, I will send my son Jesus. And he will be that sacrifice to end all sacrifices. And this will serve as a reminder for you until the day Jesus comes. That's why we don't have to sacrifice anymore. Jesus has already come. We don't need the reminder. We think back on Jesus. But these people had to look forward to it, and so they would sacrifice. So he says, hey, Cain and Abel, you need to bring a sacrifice. Adam and Eve's sons, bring a sacrifice to me. He told them how to do it. And Cain brings his, and Abel brings his. Cain didn't listen to God in the way he asked for it, but Abel did. And so when they get there, and God's like, hey, good job, Abel. And he looks at Cain, and he's like, man, that's not acceptable to me. Cain gets mad at his brother. It says that he goes off and he murders him. He kills his own brother. Now John here says why. He says, and why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. It's interesting that Abel did the right thing. Like, he listened to God. He did the right thing. And Cain hated him for it. Because Cain did the wrong thing. So John's really quickly going to tell us, hey, listen, as you live your life, as you try to do the right thing and follow Jesus and make the right choices, and the world's going to look at you and they're going to judge you for your choices. As you try to live wisely, as you try to obey God, the world's going to look and go, why aren't you partying with us? Why aren't you doing drugs with us? Why aren't you looking at pornography with us? Why aren't you sleeping with your girlfriend or boyfriend already? The world's going to throw accusations at you because you're trying to live the way God has set out for us in His Bible. And the world's looking and going, why are you doing the right thing? Just like Cain looked at his brother Abel. And he literally murdered him over it. John's saying, expect that the world is going to hate you for trying to live for Jesus. It's going to happen. And he says in verse 13, don't be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. And here's the cool part. I mean, that stinks. We don't want to be hated by the world. We don't want to be rejected. But we get to look to Jesus, who is hated. The perfect Son of God, who came with a heart full of love for every single one of us who's ever lived. Willing to die for us. And the world still hated someone like that. How can you hate someone who loves you enough to die for you? How do you find the hatred in your heart? And if they could hate Jesus, shouldn't we expect that as we follow Jesus, we'll be hated? But Jesus never said, hate him back. He didn't say, well, the world's going to hate you. They're going to judge you. They're going to be mean to you. They're going to make fun of you and ridicule you. This is what you do. You just like wind it up good and give it right in their nose. Like, just get them back. Like, hate the world back. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Although sometimes we feel like doing it, right? Like, ah! He says, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus as he hung there and they tortured him and beat him, and he never, ever said an unkind word back. Look to Jesus so you can see how that looks, because it's going to be hard. Guys, if you haven't felt this at school already, you must not be living for Jesus. I can say it safely. I don't know how you would make it through one day doing the right things and not coming up against people who are ridiculing you for making the right choice. Because we live in a sinful world that is all around us. I don't care if you go to a Christian school. I don't care if you're a homeschooler. I don't care if you go to public school. We're going to face it. And if we're living for Christ, we're going to bump up against this world that hates us and that judges us for doing the right thing and for following Jesus. And you're going to have to make a choice tomorrow when you go to school. You're going to walk into your hallways. And immediately you're going to start to bump up against people who are expecting you to sin, who are encouraging you to do the wrong thing and make wrong choices, to cheat on tests and homework, to gossip, to talk bad about people, to you name it. They're going to expect you to use certain words that you know are wrong. invite you to certain places you know you shouldn't go. Tomorrow you will run into these things, and you are going to have to be ready as you walk in your hallways. What kind of choice are you going to make? Am I going to follow Jesus? Am I going to let him just make fun of me? Talk about me? Hate me? Who do you love? Do you love yourself and your own reputation more than the Son of God who died on a cross for you? Who was hated by the world for you? Who put up with way more than you'll ever see in your life? Experienced more pain than you'll ever know? Because he paid that penalty so you'll never have to. Will you follow him anyway? When you chase after Jesus and say, sin, stay away. I want Christ. Christ loves me. I follow Jesus. Don't be surprised that the world will hate you. I mean, when I was a little kid, I was in elementary school, and I remember I hung out with this kind of like group of cool kids, and I was the not really cool kid, so I hung out with them as much as I could to try to be cool, and somehow they got a hold of, there was this big test coming up. It was elementary school, so it wasn't a big test, but to us it was a big test, and somehow they got a hold of a copy from the same test the teacher used the year before, and so they knew older kids, and the older kids had like an old copy, and so they got this copy, and we were like, yeah, so we're going to study this, we're going to like get 100% on this test, because we get all the answers. And this one dude in our class wasn't like in our group and heard that we had a copy of the test. And we called him a goody two-shoes. He was always just being the goody two-shoes. And so when he found out, we're like, yeah, come on, you can like copy the answers too. And instead, he went and admitted to our teacher that we had a copy of the test. So we're all mad at him. We're like just ticked off at this kid. We're like, we're going to get him. And so that day as we're leaving school, we're walking out through the playground and I see he had forgotten his book bag in the playground. So immediately we all grab the book bag. We're like, this is that dude's book bag. Like, this is perfect. God must have left this for us. So I'm surprised we didn't get struck by lightning right then. And so we're holding the bag. We're like, yeah, what are we going to do with it? And our school had this like, they had this canal, really deep canal that ran all the way around the school. And there were like alligators and snakes and stuff. It was like one of those nasty down in South Florida. And so we're like, yeah, we're going to get them. And I'm like, no, I don't know if we should. Because I was kind of a goody two-shoes too, but I wanted to hang out with the cool kids. So they were like, Rob, we dare you. Right? We still use that back then. I don't know if you guys still dare each other. We're like, we dare you. That was a big deal. If they dared you, you did it. Right? And so I was like, oh, so I get the backpack and like throw it in the canal. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? So of course, I throw this thing in the canal. And we go home, like we take off, you know, like we didn't even talk to each other. Once it hit the water, we never said another word again. We just run off in 100 different directions. We're like, it's like, where'd you guys go? You know, like, and we just went home. And so I get home and then I get a phone call later that night from one of my buddies. And they're like, hey, yo, he's like, they found out it was you. I'm like, how'd they find out it was me? You were there too. And so somebody had ratted me out that I was the one that had thrown this kid's bag in the canal. So all night long, I'm just lying in bed and I'm just biting my nails and just freaking out. Like his dad was like a big dude. And I'm like, oh no, he's gonna come to school tomorrow. He's just gonna like pound me like WWF style into the ground. I'm like, I'm gonna die tomorrow. And I'm so scared. I can't tell my parents because of course I just get in more trouble. So I just have to let it eat me up all night long. I get to school and I am just like in the shadows, like running from door to door, like looking around. And I get to class and I'm sitting there and the kid comes in and sits down and doesn't even say a word. And I was like, this is some dirty trick he's playing. I know it's a dirty trick. And so I was sitting there all day long. He's just like, all morning long, he's just like, nothing's happening. And I'm waiting for like the PA system to be like, shh, please send Rob Jones to the office. And like, I'm going to get killed today. I know I'm going to die at some point. And it's just eating me up and nobody's saying a word. So then finally we go to lunch. And when we get to lunch, I realize that in all of my nervousness and anxiousness, I forgot my lunchbox at home. So I'm like, I'll just sit here and just, I'm too like nervous to eat anyway. I'm going to throw up. Something bad is going to happen. And I'm sitting at the table and that kid saw that I wasn't eating lunch, walks over, sits down, opens his lunchbox and shares his lunch with me. I'm like, did you poison the food? I'm like, what is going on? I had no idea. I could not comprehend or understand in my mind how that kid could do that. And it drove me nuts. And so I'm like, should I eat it? Should I not eat it? And so I just sat there and like tried to just like look this kid in the eyes after what I had done, feeling so guilty. And finally, I just had to say, bro, what are you doing? Like, you know it was me. I know you know it was me. Like, how are you sitting here sharing your lunch with me? And I kid you not, in elementary school, this kid somehow had a relationship with Jesus enough to look me back and go, Jesus died for me, and I love you too. And that was one of the first times I had heard anything like that. And I went to a Christian school. And this was an elementary kid from the mouth of babes, the Bible says we're going to hear truth. This was an elementary school kid, spoke that truth to me, and today I'm still telling the story. I remember that was one of the first times I had seen Jesus' love from another person. In such a real way. I had offended that kid. He had no reason, by the world's standards, to be nice to me, to forgive me, to go out of his way for me after what I did. But he knew that that's what Jesus had done for him. Man, I wish I could have been on the other side of that. Which I could have been the kid who was forgiving. The kid who came down and sat and shared the lunch. But I wasn't. I was the jerk in the story. But what an awesome moment. I can't tell you how grateful I am that that kid came and did that. Because it helped me understand what Jesus did for me. Man, that's just a tiny version. Tiny, tiny version of what Christ has done for you. And how much he loves you. But he's also asking you to live it out yourself. He's saying, if I've really done this, if I've made this impact in your heart and you believe it, I want you to be that way too. Don't look for revenge and retaliation. Love. Love people with a fierce love that can't be stopped, just like Jesus did as he hung there on the cross. Don't be surprised that the world's going to hate you. And then look at verse 14. We know. All right, he's going to lay it out for us here and finish it. We know that we've passed out of death into life. You've truly been saved because we love the brothers. There's your test. Have you truly passed from death into life? If so, it should show up in you the way you love other people. Whoever doesn't love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He's talking about Jesus there. When Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, he said, even if you think something about your brother, even if you hate him just with your thoughts, it's just as bad as actually killing him. Even if you think these evil sins and don't actually do them and you want them in your heart, it's just as bad as actually doing it because it's about your heart. If your heart's so broken and stuck in sin, you can't love other people, then you probably haven't had your heart restored by Jesus yet. You probably need to go to Jesus and fall at his feet and say, Lord, forgive me. Give me the love that only you can give because you died on a cross. And let him give you that love and change your heart. I love that verse because it's that fingerprint test for us. Love should just be smeared all over us, all right? I found this really funny commercial you guys I'm sure have seen before, but I want to show it real quick. This is what I picture in my head when I think of how I want to love people. I just wanted to show up everywhere. Check this video out real quick.
As we're eating all the Jesus snacks. Okay, I'm giving you guys a chance to confess. This little baby can detect trace amounts of Cheetos dust. What? Gloria. Kids. We get a cat.
Okay, first of all, where's that accent from? I don't even understand a cat, but whatever. That is like what I want people to see when they look at me when that light turns on. I want that love of Jesus to be so evident it's smeared all over my face. You can't help but walk up to me and talk to me and be like, wow, there's something different about you, Rob. What is it? Like, what's different about you that you would be that loving? I don't understand it. And I'm either going to hate you for it, or I'm going to listen to who your Savior is. And I'm going to want them to. And if they hate me for it, that's fine. That's their choice. But God, please let me live a life of love that people see it and want Jesus because of it. As you walk into school and people look at you and the way you treat them and the way you act, they would see it all over your face in your life. And because of your example, people are coming to you going, tell me about Jesus. Why are you different? God, let that be all over us. And so verse 16, he says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. This love, we know it because Jesus died for us. It's something that Jesus has to do in us. My dad told me a story. When he was little, his dad, he grew up on a farm. And so his dad used to tell him different wise farm things. And so he would go out and they would milk the cows and they had pigs and chickens and all this crazy stuff. They had a big farm. And so every day his job was to go out and milk the cows. And so when a cow was pregnant and had a little calf baby, my dad would have to help his dad deliver and all that stuff. So the cow has a baby. And my grandfather goes up to my dad and he tells him this wise piece of advice. He says, here's what we're going to do, because I want you to be big and strong, and I want you to be able to run this farm someday for me and take it over. So now that this baby little cow, look how small that calf is, which is still pretty big, right? But he's like, if you go out every single morning, and you go and you pick that calf up and hold it in your hands and then put it down, and you do that every single day, you're going to get stronger as that calf grows. And by the time it's a full-grown cow, you'll be able to go out there and pick the whole cow up. Right? Isn't that how it works? No. But my dad believed it as just a little kid. He's like, oh, I'm going to be big and strong. Like, you can't. The thing that I see in that is that we're trying really hard sometimes. I do that in my life, my spiritual life. I'm going out every morning and I'm like, if I work really hard at loving people today, oh, when it gets really hard, I'm going to be able to do it. Every single day, I'm just going to keep working on it, and I'm going to keep doing this exercise, and I'm going to keep practicing it, and eventually I'll be an awesome Christian because I've worked hard, and I've behaved a certain way, and I've done things people told me to do that I should do right. And so one day, I'll be able to pick up this thing called the Christian life that's so massive. It doesn't work that way. The only way you'll be able to do that is if you look to the cross of Jesus and say, I don't understand why you died for me. I didn't deserve it, Jesus. I confess my sin. Christ, I believe that you loved me enough to do it, and that's the only answer to this thing. When you do that, there's a response that begins to grow in your heart that you can't work out and make stronger. As you trust Jesus more, he grows that himself in you. The Holy Spirit becomes in charge of growing that love in you. And as you look up, you say, man, I'm closer to Jesus because of the work he did in me. You can't behave a certain way to earn it. And then verse 17, John closes by saying, but if anyone has the world's goods, I mean like everything, like lots of money and you have wealth, and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him? How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. I want to close with this. I'm going to ask you to think for a second. It's so easy to talk about love today. It really is. I feel like you could just walk out in the streets and start conversations with random people, especially millennials, and they love to talk. That's you guys. They love to talk about love. They love to talk about being tolerant to each other and accepting each other and all these things. They even like spirituality to some extent. Love's a good thing, right? We want to be loved. Unfortunately, it tends to be talk. It tends to be this thing we just like to talk about, but then when it's actually time to live it out and sacrifice something in our life or give up some sort of comfort or serve somebody in some way, we're like, whoa. This is interfering with my life, with my comfort, with my goals. I got too many things going on in my schedule to actually be a part of a church where I'm serving people. I can't serve because I've got too many things to make me awesome. And I'm going to keep working on sports, and I'm going to keep working on grades, and I'm going to keep working on this over here and hanging out with my friends. And my schedule's so full, God, I don't have time to serve people. And then Jesus looks down and he's like, wait, I thought you said you love me. I thought you said you love other people. You see, talk's really easy to say those things. But John's here saying, if you have all of that, and you have those talents and that health and the money and a good home, and like you can help people, you have the means to do it, and you close your heart up against people in need and you're not, don't claim to have God's love. Because that ain't it. Most of us that are in this room right now have a roof over our head. We have a home to go home to. None of us probably in this room are going to miss too many meals this week. We are so blessed to be where we're at. And there may be some people here tonight, I don't know, or I can't see you, and you're struggling, and I don't mean to offend you tonight. I don't want to throw you into all that. But the majority of us here tonight, I do believe, we got it pretty well. And God's blessed us like crazy. You notice we had this guy come in tonight to talk to us about service. There's a reason. Because I want to ask you guys tonight, I want to challenge you guys tonight, live out the love that God's put in your heart. Get involved and serve. Serve in this church, serve in this youth group, serve in your school at FCA. Serve somewhere, but find a place where you're serving sacrificially. It's not making you any better of a person. You're giving up the millennial whole attitude of I'm going to make myself this mega human and just do all these things to make myself so awesome. We're giving that up and saying, Jesus, this is about someone else right now and about you right now, and I just want to serve. I want to sacrifice my time and my money and other things to serve because that's what Jesus did on the cross. Guys, I'm begging you tonight for us to be different. To not just come to a youth group and do the things youth groups do, but to take a step forward and say, we as a youth group, we want to be like Jesus. We want to serve like Jesus and love like Jesus. And there's some ways you guys can do that right here. You can get involved with Mission Trip Merritt Island. There's a bunch of you already doing that. And as we do those, you're there. I mean, we're packing that room up. People are coming to help serve the homeless in our community. Keep that up. If you're not involved, get involved in it. The Meeting Needs Project, where there's people in our church that have different needs. Some of you guys have already done some of those projects to go help. That's awesome. Get involved in that. Most of you have an FCA at your school. Man, the fields are so ripe at those. There's so many ways you can serve at FCA. Join your FCA. Invite people to church. Tell them the gospel story. There's so many ways. Sign up for a mission trip. You can go to Guatemala with us. We go twice a year. Sign up for one of those trips and start doing fundraisers. But that's hard. We got to raise money, Rob. I know. It's a sacrifice. I get it. It's exactly what we're talking about tonight. Do some fundraisers. Sacrifice some time and some energy and go serve people. Be like Jesus in that. If we end tonight and all you heard me say was, hey, you guys need to serve more, then you missed out on everything I just said. I'm not asking you to just go serve. I'm asking you to go to the cross of Jesus and say, Lord, put your heart in me. And if you're serious and He does that, you're going to serve. I'm not going to have to get up here and beg you or ask you because the heart of Jesus is a heart of service. So I want to encourage you guys tonight, ask Jesus to do that in you. He says, little children in verse 18, let us not love in word talk, but in deed and in truth. Get up off our butts and start doing. That's what he says right there. You guys bow your heads for a second, close your eyes. God, we love you so much. And we thank you that Jesus came and died for us. The ultimate act of service, when he went to the cross, Jesus, thank you. We declare tonight together, we believe you are alive, God. That's why we're here. That's why we sing these songs and listen to this Bible stuff. Because you're alive. Lord, will you please do something in our hearts tonight? You know the people who are sitting here, God, and they're asking you already right now, as they're sitting there with their heads bowed, some people in this room are already asking you to give them that heart of service. Please do it. Hear them right now as they pray, God. Please do that for us. Cause us to love. Cause us to serve. We want to be like you, Jesus. If that's you tonight, guys, and you just prayed that, or you want to pray that with a leader, will you just slip your hand up in the air so I could pray for you? Rob, that's me. I want a heart that says, I want to serve people. I want to be sacrificial. I want the heart of Christ. I see you guys' hands. Pray for me, Rob. I want to be able to give up my stuff and my time and my schedule for other people. Father, you saw the hands that went up. You know the people that are praying that. We ask that you do it in us. Break us free from busy schedules and our own junk. Be the most important thing in our lives. Let it not just be words, but let it be action. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.